Episode 42, Living Congruent with Genes, No Vax, and Is CBD a Holy Grail? I'm your host, Dr. Justin Trosclair, and today we hear Dr. Billy DeMoss' perspective. Join 2017 Podcast Awards nominated host, Dr. Justin Trosclair, as he gets a rarely seen look into the specialties of all types of doctors and guests, plus marketing, travel tips, struggles, goals, and relationship advice. Let's hear a doctor's perspective. Today on the show, it's a short episode. He double booked, so I got him for roughly 20 minutes. Now, he was kind enough to say, if you have any questions or want more interview of him, let us know, and we will do that. We will do a round two. But Dr. Billy DeMoss is the Cal Jam creator. It is a huge chiropractic event with rock and roll and amphitheaters, parties, 18 continuing ed classes. He has a strong view about vaccinations. He has his own company producing CBD cannabis oil. So we're going to go all into the backstory of that. Also, the pros and cons and the conspiracies and the rise in different issues with vaccines. So this will probably be a little controversial, and that's okay. It's also educational. So the show notes, doctorsperspective.net/42. Let's go. Hashtag behind the curtain. Live from China. Today, we have got an amazing guest, Cal Jam, entrepreneur, chiropractor, Dr. Billy DeMoss. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on your show.
I was curious because you're definitely one of those chiropractors who are anti-vaccine, CBD oil.
I don't like anti-vaccine. I think I'm going to say I'm going to be pro-health and educated. I mean, because anti-vaccine is a negative term. I mean, and again, I think that's gives us a bad rap. I mean, I've done the research. I know what I'm talking. It's like most people that once you dig down that rabbit hole, it opens up pretty wide and it's pretty obvious, you know, the truth. So
my question is whenever you're talking about the troubles of vaccines and potential causes of injury, do we see that in other countries besides America, like China vaccinates, New Zealand, Canada? Are they seeing a rise in some of these issues that we see or not?
Yeah,
really?
You look at like I don't know about China per se, but I mean, if you go look at what they're doing in Africa, you saw that the kids that were getting vaccinated with a DPT shot had a 10 times higher level of mortality than the ones that weren't getting vaccinated. You see, like, when people move here or immigrate here from other countries where there is no autism, and then as soon as they can start vaccinated, their autism rate parallels what we've got going on in the United States. You also see in the United States people that don't vaccinate, say, i.e. the not the Quakers. Who is it? The Amish.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have autism anywhere near what we have as far as the prevalence of like 1 in 50 now.
That means.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to like the diagnosis has become easier to identify and so more people are labeled that way?
Think about that realistically. If that was the case, you'd see all people like my age, baby boomers with autism. You don't see anybody in my demographics, in my age group, in the baby boomers with autism. And what you're going to see in the next probably decade or so, you're going to see even the autism rates go up even higher. You're going to have, I mean, just talk to any school teachers. They'll tell you that since they've been, like, I have a teacher that she's been teaching for 20 years, and she says it's just exploding. It's epidemic proportion. So it has nothing to do with diagnosis. It has to do with the fact that these kids are basically jacked up neurologically. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist and extra diagnosis to see that they have more and more special needs kids in these classes. And, you know, ask a teacher, ask any teacher what they've seen and what they've noticed. And again, you can say that it could be from other types of toxins, but the most obvious one to me happens to be the toxic load of the increasing amount of vaccines that we're challenging these children with. And those numbers are going to go up, bro. It's not like they're not going to stop wherever they're at right now, 70 or 80. It's going to go literally to as far as they can push it until people have had enough of their bullshit. So,
are there any, if you're a fan of the graduated plan, let them get a little bit thicker, a little bit older, and then give them something so they don't get polio, you know, or something like that? Or you're kind of not a fan of them in general?
California, you don't have any choice anymore about your schedule. You don't have which one. You have to get all the shots before you're admitted to school.
Along
CDC guidelines. There is no, you know, altered schedule. There's not, I don't want the hepatitis. You have to get everything. And that's what people don't understand. Whether you're pro-vax or you're pro-education, like I like to say, then you should – you've really lost the right of what drugs you're going to be able to put in your kid's body. And like I said, they're not going to stop where they're at right now. They're going to come up with new vaccines for every little friggin' microbe that is out there, which is an infinite amount, until, like I said, until people have had enough of their bull, until we have enough vaccine injuries, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to have more and more people that are going to become vaccine injured, and you're going to piss off some mama bears is what's going to happen, and then you're going to see World War III break out probably from vaccines. So,
is there any chance that this stuff could be from the high fructose corn syrup processed food? People doing drugs all the time when they're youth compared to maybe.
I noticed a kind of the hand motion there.
Yeah. Or you want to crack maybe?
Yeah. Or it could be too much of this. You know,
you dream.
First drug there is, in my opinion. Yeah, I'm going to be the first to admit that I think there's a synergism with everything that's going on with environment. I mean, look at the food and the crap people eat anymore. And look at the air that we breathe and look at the water that we drink. So it's not like we can say one thing, but all I know is when you're injecting your, you know, a day old baby with some pretty harsh chemicals and metals, that's not going to be good. That's not going to go really well. And that's why we have a lot of the autoimmune diseases. But sure. I mean, I'm not going to be an idiot. We all have microbes, or we have microbiomes that are all just basically jacked up from the foods and from the water.
Right.
And you know, I like to educate people on geoengineering, what they're doing with climate engineering, and how that has detrimental effects on toxicity as well. So,
one more question on this. Would you say that they look at it as the greater good? We're going to have a little bit more autism. We're going to have a little more issues, but it's less than 1%. So we're okay with that 1% because 99% of the population is good.
That 1% is your kid. How are you going to feel?
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I'm just curious if that's kind of the mentality.
I want to see your bull research to show me that your herd immunity hypothesis at best, not even hypothesis, like herd immunity. I mean, where do they come up with the numbers? I mean, we literally in California, we've got 97% of the kids vaccinated. That should create herd immunity. But the problem is we don't have the adults vaccinated. So that's what people think it was all about, getting the kids on program. No, it's just their way of inching in and getting people to understand that we're going to be mandated to get vaccines. We're going to start with the kids first, and then we're going to go for the adults next. Like, I've been alive for 59-plus years now. I don't ever, ever, ever get sick. But I grew up in an era where I think I got 3 or 4 vaccines. Thank God for that. And I developed God-given immunity, and the reality is the God-given immunity is going to prevent everything from cancer to the common cold to – who knows what else. So I'm all big about people just living congruent to genes, and living congruent to genes doesn't mean injecting vaccines into your body. That's just my humble opinion based on my many, many years of looking down the rabbit hole.
Noted. Now, another interesting thing that you have, and I think you have your own company with it, is CBD oil. For those that know that. So explain what that is and the benefits that people could see with that. And are they going to be high?
No. That's the thing. I mean, some people would like that if it got as high as a kite. But our product has very, very small amounts of THC in it. Literally, it has to be under 0.3% THC. And it's important that you have the THC in there, because there's this thing called the entourage effect of all the different constituents in the cannabis plant that give it its health benefits. I mean, I don't like to look at using cannabis as a treatment for disease, even less so most people look at it. I look at it as it's like fish oil, but it's a fish oil on friggin' steroids, dude. It's fish oil that is neuroprotective. It's fish oil that's neuroregenerative. It's fish oil that kills cancer cells. It's fish oil that just quells any anxiety. It helps you sleep. What it does is it really balances out a system in your body, which most people don't even know is that it exists. It's called the endocannabinoid system, which is really, I mean, we all want to think in chiropractic that the brain and nervous system is the ultimate controller. But the reality is that the endocannabinoid system is really modulates even the nervous system. And it does that by creating homeostasis in the body. And the problem is we used to be able to live in a world where there was cannabis everywhere. Plants ate the seeds. We ate the hemp. We were literally, it was ubiquitous in our environment. And we symbiotically really co-evolved together. And I mean, that's why the plant is so prevalent as it is and so popular as it is. But when we had prohibition, and it was used heavily, heavily before, you know, cannabis prohibition in 1937, it was used extensively as a really in a lot of medicinal products, and it's been used for tens of thousands of years to treat specific conditions. So, I mean, it's not something new to the – but what happened is Big Brother and Big Pharma and Big Oil and Big Hemp or Big Paper and Big Cotton wanted to get rid of their biggest competitor, which was Big Hemp. So that's why it got vilified with all the reefer madness. It's really been part of culture, not only, you know, culturally, but also is spiritually been involved with, you know, a lot of people's religions. And it was just vilified and ostracized because those big companies, corporate greed, painted the picture of what it was to vilify it. And then they even changed the name of it. I mean, it used to be go by cannabis. So what they did is they used racism, number one, to say that, well, if black people smoke it, they're going to go rape all the black or the white women. Or if Mexicans smoke it, they're going to think they're as good as white people. And this is how they really portrayed cannabis in the day. Wow. And what they did is they changed the name of it from cannabis to Mary. What are the two most prevalent Hispanic names? Mary and Juana. So they named it marijuana to give it kind of that slang kind of like Hispanic kind of sound to it to even further ostracize it in the mind of people. But also at the same time, when they wanted to kind of pull the rug under people's eyes, is they named it marijuana because when they went out to create marijuana prohibition, they didn't want the doctors that used cannabis extensively in their practices to know that they were outlawing one of the most probably beneficial. They have this fear of a plant, and I get it. People's, you know, were thought that if you smoke pot, you're going to lose your mind, or it was the gateway. The real gateway drug is vaccines, because you're teaching people right from the very beginning that you need things pushed in from the outside in to really create health. So I just get people to understand it's fish oil on steroids, dude. And like I had a lady today, I go, do you use – I mean, she's a cancer patient. I go, are you doing any type of like omega-3s? And she goes, no, I'm a vegetarian. I go, well, perfect. You should be doing fish. Should be doing cannabis. You know, and then they go, oh, my God, I can't. It's against my religion. It's like, but it's okay for you to do chemo and radiation and vaccines that are made in some friggin' drug lab in China or something, wherever you're at. I don't understand how people can be that brainwashed, really, in my opinion. So,
but there's there's no high. It's literally they've taken the good part of cannabis.
No, it's not the good part. The reality is hemp never had high THC levels. It's okay. When it became vilified and ostracized and everything went black market, they started hybridizing the plants to have higher levels of CBD or higher levels of THC, because that's what sold in the black market, was the fact that it had high levels of the psychoactive parts of it. But if you go back to what the medicinal practices, most of those plants had lower levels of THC and higher levels of the CBD, which is where a lot of the health benefits come from. So, I mean, there's still some of those strains out there. There's strains like, and they're also called chemo bars. That's a term that I'm doing loads of reading because I want to know the stuff inside out. Right. There's strains that are high levels of CBD and low levels. Like there's a strain I have at home called Canatonic, which gives you all the benefits of the CBD. I vape it. I don't smoke it. So you're not getting all the negative effects of smoking. And even though they found that people that smoke cannabis have lower levels of lung cancer than people that don't. So that's where that whole anti-cancer thing comes in from the CBD. But yeah. there's strains like ACDC. You want to look for a strain that's higher in CBD, because CBD will mitigate the psychoactive effects of THC. So if you don't like getting high, those are the strains you're going to really want to utilize. But what our products are, they're products that you ingest, you put them under your tongue. We also have salves that you put on for musculoskeletal conditions because it's a great, great, it's probably one of the best anti-inflammatory, natural anti-inflammatories on the planet.
Will you fail a drug test if your company requires a drug test?
A drug test. Good question. I'm glad you brought that up. So we also have a product that's THC-free, but in my opinion, you need a little bit of THC in it if you want the massive effects that you're going to get. So, yeah, if you work for, you know, a company where they drug test, then you want to do the THC-free product that we have.
But even at the levels that you put in this container in your product, even if you took it a lot, there still wouldn't be enough to really...
No, it will ping a drug test. It will.
It will. It will. Okay. All right.
No but question.
It won't change the way you drive or the way you interact with your family if you take it.
It's not even... It's to me like... Have you ever had a non-alcoholic beer?
Yeah.
Okay. A non-alcoholic beer has 0.5% alcohol in it. This is 0.3 THC. And the fact that it's got so much CBD in it that it just annihilates any type of psychoactive effect because, like I said, CBD mitigates the effects of THC. So even a 1-to-1 ratio, it's going to mitigate the effects of THC.
Real quick. Have you noticed it in comparison or when you combine it with, say, the MCT oils, the keto diet, hyperbaric chambers, would that just be the trifecta that helps with cancer patients and other issues?
Yeah, and I think where I really want to get the most benefit is cognitive function because as I've gotten older, I really want to make sure I ensure. So that's where the neuroprotection comes in and neuroregeneration comes in. So I'm going to be working with Brad Glowacki with his concussion stuff. And I'm going to be teaching at his next event at the Rose Bowl. And I'm bringing all the science, dude. So people can shoot all the arrows they want in my back. And again, I know it's not chiropractic. I mean, I have other interests outside of chiropractic. I didn't get into chiropractic to join some religion where I can't surf or play the guitar or talk about cannabis or talk about, you know, any of the water systems that I sell. I mean, the thing is, I, like you said, I'm an entrepreneur. I love what I do. I love marketing. I love business. I love selling things that I wholeheartedly believe in. Which, number one, and first and foremost, I'm a chiropractor. But being a chiropractor doesn't limit the fact that I can't introduce people to other things that I implement into my life. And that's what I like to say to people. I try everything. Like I'm doing the friggin' lectin-free diet right now. Lectin-free diet, excuse me. Along with The Plant Paradox. I don't know if you've read that book. It's a really good book.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So why don't we reconvene at another time? Because I got to get here.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
Whet everybody's appetite. And then if anybody has any questions, maybe they could send you questions and we could address that. But I also want to mention that I'm putting on CalJam again this year, which is the biggest bat rigging seminar on the planet with rock and roll, live rock and roll in a stellar, opulent, performing arts center where you're going to come and get this living spizzarinkum blown out into you. And then you're going to also come and get just the love factor. But you're also, there's great content as far as all the speakers are amazing speakers. I've handpicked the best speakers in the world on health issues, but also on measures of global sustainability. People can check that out at caljam.org. And I encourage, and we have 18 hours of CE for the doctors.
Oh, nice.
Two big parties because I'm a big party guy. And I encourage all of you to come out to California. Check it out. January 26th, 27th, 28th, 2018, bro.
Oh, man, that's coming up quick.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
All right, man. Well, you have a fantastic evening and I appreciate your time.
All right, man.
Dr. Billy, thank you so much for giving us a history lesson. And like I said on the top, whether we agree with you or not, it definitely gives us something to think about and to know that maybe there is research to back behind everything on the CBD cannabis oil. Maybe there are strong evidence that maybe we shouldn't get vaccinated. And like you said, you'll be teaching this at a seminar later on. So as always, listen, critically think about it, and implement what you can where you can. Show notes at doctorsperspective.net/42. Travel tip is coming up next. Thank you for listening to the podcast, The Doctor's Perspective. Thank you for writing reviews on wherever you listen to it, ranking us 5 stars, hopefully. Listen, you all know I got a book out. I've been working on a version 2.0. Right now, if you buy it, send me an email with the receipt, and I can send you 5 bonus chapters. It'll just be this long PDF, but we're going to have some nerve stretches, creating and executing a budget, ways to cut expenses, optimal calorie consumption calculator fit directly for you, and some ideas about fasting. So if you want some of these bonus chapters before they're released in version 2.0, just send me that receipt via email and I'll get them over to you. As always, we got some t-shirt designs for the logo, for chiropractic. There's also a buy host a cup of coffee. Upgraded that. It's on the main webpage. And lastly, stay tuned. A secret project will be coming out. Definitely go to adoctorsperspective.net, top right. There are all the social media icons. Pick which one you love to follow most. Friend me, like me, say hello. I'll definitely respond back. Travel tip today. Look, it's only fitting since we talked about cannabis and THC. If you're going to travel to another country, you better know the drug rules. I'm not saying you're going to bring stuff in because that would be even worse. But even if you're there, what is the penalty if you get busted? You know, there are certain countries you have it, you can go to jail and be sentenced to death. Like, that serious. So if you're into that scene, check it out before you go. We just went hashtag behind the curtain and this episode has come to an end. I hope you got the right dose for your optimal life. Please spread the word about this podcast by telling two friends, sharing on social media, and visit the show notes on adoctorsperspective.net to see all the references from today's guest. A sincere thank you in advance. You've been listening to Dr. Justin Trosclair, giving you a doctor's perspective.